Sex is in front of our eyes and on our minds every day. How can you avoid it? There's sex on the internet. Safe sex, sex offenders, sex education, sex scandals. It's everywhere. It permeates entertainment, fashion, advertising, and affects politics. Now, what about you? Are you a worshiper? Now, the average person would deny that they worship anything, but have you allowed sex to become a kind of God? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss worshiping sex.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Sex sells. Advertising and sex have been tied together since advertising became big business. It's used to sell everything from breakfast cereal to school backpacks. Even the smallest of children receive literally thousands of messages a year about sex on TV, how about music or video games, and on billboards. Now, if you were to Google the word sex, you'd get over 776 million hits. Now think about that. If you tried to look at all these web pages for 1 minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it would take you almost 1,500 years to visit all the websites. Now, imagine searching for the word Jesus, and you get about 188 million websites. So, sex beats Jesus 4-1. Now, what does that say about us? We are a people who worship many things. We worship our lifestyles, our possessions, our relationships, our TVs, even our stomachs. So how do you know what you worship? It's really easy. Ask yourself, how do I spend my time? How do I spend my energy, my money, my loyalty? Every one of us is a worshiper. The only question is, what does each of us worship? Now, one thing is obvious. We have become a sex-saturated society. There is no doubt that sex has, in a sense, become a god. Now, here's the problem. The effects have not had a positive impact on us. For example, what TV program is the most popular one with kids aged 9 to 12? Desperate Housewives. That's what the Parents Television Council recently reported. Another example, a recent study featured in the journal Pediatrics, it states that teens who watch programs that contain sexual or suggestive content, they are about twice as likely to get pregnant or to get a partner pregnant. Now, it is clear, our world has the wrong perspective when it comes to sex. Now, you want the right point of view? Check out what God has to say about it. Now, you probably will be surprised. In the very, very first book of the Bible, it records for us that God created all things, including man and woman and sex. And God saw everything that he made. And you know what he said about it? He said it was very good. Now, whether it was Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, throughout history, God put his stamp of approval on human sexuality. The God of the Bible is not bashful. He's not ashamed of sex. He created it. Many passages of the Bible contain sexual stories, allusions, and sexual terms. And believe it or not, God is far from being a prude when it comes to sex. But sex must be put in the proper godly perspective. Now notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. God tells us something interesting here. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful, but will not be brought under the control or power of any. Verse 13 says, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, what point is he trying to make here? What he's telling us is nothing sensual should control you. So don't be dominated by anything. Anything you can taste, anything you can touch, anything you can hear or smell. Don't become challenged by it. Don't become engaged by that. You take sex seriously, but God says to take him even more seriously. We're to have a close relationship, a very close connection to God. Far beyond sexual intimacy is the importance of our closeness and intensity of our relationship with God. Now notice verse 13. There it says, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You see, since our bodies belong to God, we're to be closely and intimately connected to Him. See, God doesn't mince words. He says no fornication, no sexual immorality, no prostitutes, no internet porn. He says that's unacceptable. Now, verse 17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord's one spirit with him. You see, he's telling us to be dedicated to God. That's got to come first. And since we're to be closely connected to God, we're to glorify God in our bodies. You see, that means we don't worship sex. We worship God. Now, Jesus Christ himself put sex in the proper perspective. Over in Matthew 19, verse 5, Jesus himself says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see, Christ is talking about sex within marriage. Now, this means that sex cannot be disconnected from the two great commands, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it's about love. And this means we become intimate with our mates. We're to be reminded that we're to have a close personal relationship, an intimate relationship with God. And you know that studies have actually proven this out. A recent survey found that the most satisfying sex is found right where God intended it, within the bounds of marriage. You see, because sex is all around us today, your appetite for immediate gratification can enslave you. Now, don't let it happen to you. Don't let the wrong influence affect you. It affected even the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10, Solomon himself said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Now, where would all the sex you could ever want lead you? You know where it led Solomon? Here's what he said. Everything was meaningless and a chasing after the wind. You see, that's a reminder. We must put sex in the right perspective in two ways. First, realize that God created sex, and it is very good in the context of marriage. It's for enjoyment. It's for unity. It's for procreation. You see, it's a type of God's relationship with us. So it's more than just a physical act. Sex is a gift of God for two married people deeply in love. Now, second, put worship in the right context. Choose to give your affection to God first and foremost. Do you understand God's plan for you? You need to make the decision to seek God first and His kingdom above everything else. You need to choose to become a worshiper of God. Now, there's so much more to discuss on this topic. Up next, what about pornography? Is sex evil? Stay tuned.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Read What Always Works. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships with this step-by-step guide to the lifestyle of family success. Know the secrets of what to do at each season of your children's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Putting anything before God, whether it be sex, money, ego, or your job, is a false god. So many have lost their way and are missing something. In fact, we have a free booklet that you can order called Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. We hope you'll order this booklet. Go to beyondtoday.tv. You can download it. You can start reading it immediately. A tremendous booklet that will help you really to see the importance of the context of sex. Marriage and the Family, The Missing Dimension. Get it today. beyondtoday.tv. Now, it is interesting with our subject today, talking about the influences of sex in our society. You know, it may not be a god in the traditional sense, but it certainly seems that the world bows down before it. Society is worshiping, really, in ignorance. And so we'd like to discuss this today. I've invited a guest to join me, Mr. Melvin Rhodes, a writer, editor, commentator, and pastor for the United Church of God. Melvin, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, it seems if we step back just a little bit, this whole idea of free sex, the Haight-Ashbury time period during the 60s, it was supposed to bring this wonderful utopia of free love and a whole new world. And yet, that didn't seem to happen, did it?
No, it's interesting you mentioned that, actually, because a while ago I saw a documentary on the History International channel. They'd gone over to Denmark, where it all started. In 1967, the Danish parliament voted to permit pornography. And their reasoning was that if they allowed pornography, then men would not go out and rape women or sexually assault women. So they allowed pornography, and they went back 40 years later to do this documentary and asked the people who were still alive if they had any regrets about the decision they made. And they said yes. Every single one of them said yes. They hadn't realized that they were opening the floodgates and it was going to lead to so many social problems. And in fact, what they were trying to prevent is now, of course, far worse, because now we realize that pornography actually excites males and actually makes them worse in terms of attacking females. And just as with that, so it is with everything else that came out of the 1960s sexual revolution. I think now, 40 years later, we can see that so much of it was bad.
And so much of it, instead of bringing this great freedom, really caused so much destruction. And we're seeing the results of that more and more and more.
I think that's true as well. I mean, I look at my grandparents' generation. They're dead now. But, you know, when I knew them when I was a child, they were so much happier than most people are today. And they didn't have all of this sexual freedom that is so common today.
Mm-hmm. I think even if you look at our language, you look at the difference between how sex was viewed and just the term sex and now how the terminology has changed so much. Isn't that evident?
Well, that's right. I mean, everybody knows that in the Victorian era, there was very little discussion of sexual matters. But it's interesting. Before I came on this program, I Googled the word sex, and the online etymology goes into all the different words that are connected to sex, and all of them have their origins in the 20th century. It's like in the last 100 years, we've become obsessed with this subject, mm-hmm. whereas previous generations, although obviously they did have sexual relationships, previous generations were not obsessed with them to the same extent that we are.
Yeah, you've almost gone from two different extremes. You've got the Victorian way of thinking of sex. You don't talk about it. You're not supposed to discuss it. And then we've gone off the other end now, on the other end of the extreme.
Right. It seems that man just can't find the right balance.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because you talk about the destructive nature of sex. You've traveled to Africa. You have tremendous insight there. Can you give me an example of the destructive nature of this free sex concept?
Well, the result is in Africa that AIDS has spread throughout the whole continent and risks actually just wiping out Africa. A lot of Africans are very aware of this and very concerned about it. Pornography is not a major problem in Africa. The sexual activity is 99% heterosexual, but AIDS is spreading really fast because people are breaking the laws of God. I mean, right now in some countries, the life expectancy is down to only 34 because of this problem. And it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better.
It's amazing to think. We'd like to relegate the problems over to Africa, but even right here in the United States, it's said that, and surveys have shown this, 1 out of 4 teenagers have an STD. 1 out of 4, 25% of our teenagers are walking around with a sexually transmitted disease. You don't think that causes destruction and difficulties in society? I mean, amazing.
PBS had a very good documentary, and I got a DVD of this recently, called The Lost Children of Rockdale County, about one of the wealthiest counties in Atlanta. And they had about 300 teenagers over the course of a couple of weeks going to a local clinic, and they all had syphilis. So the CDC did an investigation on this with the consent of the parents and found that these young people, I think they were 11 to 15, were all involved with each other. And they were actually copying what they saw in their parents' adult magazines or adult movies that their parents had. And the parents were very affluent, so they were both working and not at home. And the kids were able to act out what they saw. This is the result of, you know, the permissiveness of the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that in some of those cases, pornography must tie into that as well. And the effects of pornography, I mean, the availability itself out there, it's staggering. So what about some of those effects of pornography itself?
Well, I think people don't realize just how bad a thing pornography is. As a church pastor, I've had many people over the years talk about their addiction to pornography, usually internet pornography. The internet has made things a lot worse because it's so easily accessible and it is largely anonymous.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people get into it. In every case that I can think of, it's been males, men that have gotten into it. And a lot of men have said that after they get married, they wish they had never looked at any pornography because they find that they're not satisfied with their wives. In fact, you know, they'll compare their wife to whatever they've seen on one of these adult websites.
To the distorted view that's already out there, they're trying to compare their relationships, but that's not reality.
No, it's not reality. They don't realize a lot of these things are just made up and, you know, they're not real at all. But no.
Yeah, when you think about pervasiveness, it's so easily accessed. It's easy to get into that stuff. And it, like you say, it's anonymous. It's in the privacy of your own home. And so it's a big secret, but causing unbelievable destruction.
Yeah, it has a terrible effect upon society, I think.
Now, with that in mind, isn't it really more than just the physical effects that really become the issue? I think we hinted at that a little bit, that there's more than just the physical aspects of getting into the sex or porn and all that sort of thing. But there's a deeper problem, that's just the surface, the symptom, but the real problem itself.
I think there's an emptiness in people's lives. When people talk about some of these problems, you realize that there's nothing else in their life, that they are worshiping sex, in effect.
Mm-hmm.
That sex has become the most important thing in their lives. Previous generations, I think, to them, you know, sex was a part of life, as it should be, but it wasn't the most important part.
So really, get down to it. It's a spiritual problem, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
There's that emptiness. They're trying to fill it with sex or money or whatever it may be, but the only thing that can fill that void is a purpose, their destiny. God is the only thing, really, that can fill that hole.
That's right. And really, also, God is the only one that can help them to come out of any addiction that they might have in this particular area.
Well, thanks. Appreciate the comments. It's with the advertising, there's more and more based on sex. There's more sexual programs, more selling video games that have sex, songs, everybody's doing it. You see, that gives us the impression we are worshiping sex. And for a lot of people, sex has become a substitute for love. It becomes a substitute for caring, for being truly wanted. But let's confront the issue. Right after this, we're going to confront the phony sex goddess and discuss a better perspective. We'll do that next on Beyond Today.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
Our topic today is worshiping sex. A recent survey found that 40% of parents say they never talk with their kids about who they date. Almost one half never talk about how to decide when you're ready to have sex. And over one third never discuss physical relationships. We are going to talk about it today. To discuss a better perspective on sex, our fellow hosts of Beyond Today, Darris McNeely and Gary Petty. Welcome, guys. I think one of the funniest things that people have to talk about these days is safe sex. You hear all these different takes on what it's about and how it's safe and what is safe and all these kinds of things. And it's just one of those topics that have so many different aspects to it. But if we really get right down to it, what is safe sex?
Steve, safe sex is something far more than what most people anticipate or realize in the way that it's approached today. Really, safe sex is sex as God intended it to be. In a relationship, in a committed relationship, within the bounds of a sacred marital covenant between two people, that's where sex needs to be. That's where it is the safest, not only from a physical point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view, in terms of bringing people together, bonding them, cementing that relationship in a right way, and ensuring that there's no regrets, there are no problems, and nothing to go back on. That's what safe sex is.
And it's a big thing when you talk about no regrets.
Well, and it's important that we talk about this. And the reason why is because we are created as sexual beings. God created us this way. And there's two ditches we tend to fall into. One is that the human sexuality was created only for procreation. Or the other ditch is that it's just for casual recreation.
Right.
When the truth is, God created human sexuality as one of many aspects of a loving relationship between a man and a woman. And I stress, a man and a woman. That's what taught by the Old Testament and by Jesus Christ in the New Testament in the context of marriage.
And I think that's an amazing thing, because we supposedly came out of that Victorian era where it was just for procreation, and then we came to this free sex of the 60s and the whole sexual revolution. But did that really solve anything? Did it really give any meaning to sex itself?
No, it didn't. It didn't. It hasn't solved all the deepest issues that people are looking for in the relationships that they seek when they get together with an individual. The sexual revolution, quite frankly, has never delivered on its promises. And that's part of the problems that we are dealing with in our society today. That revolution goes back to the 1950s and the early 1960s. The advent of it was probably with the birth control pill, which opened up all the different kinds of, quote, opportunities for people in that way. But it lowered the moral barriers. And it's just never really delivered on its promise.
Well, you know what it's done is it's changed male-female relationships so much. I mean, there's so many men, well, there's so many boys who never grow up to become men because they become sexually active when they're younger and they never mature. But think how much women have suffered because of the sexual revolution. I mean, it's women that deal with the unwanted pregnancies. It's women who deal with the abortions. It's women who deal with the broken heart, the abandonment. It's women who have the longing, and men. We have this longing for a close relationship that never seems to happen. And one of the major reasons for poverty is women, and no one wants to say this, and those who do are criticized, but it's the truth. One of the major reasons for poverty are women raising children without a man, without a father around. Mm-hmm. And so even poverty in this country, one of the major causes is the sexual revolution.
Yeah, you forget about the social injustice that is the result. You talk about the detriments of free sex, you forget about that.
And the other victim that Gary alluded to are the children.
Yes.
The children of this cavalier approach to sex and commitment, and you know, marriage is not even in there at all, but it is children who then grow up with that stigma, with that missing dimension in their life of a solid relationship, in many cases a man. And I recognize many people feel that the man is not necessary, but I think that that's one of the great fictions of our time that has been foisted off upon our society. Those children that do grow up without that are going to be more likely to repeat some of the same mistakes because there's still a gaping void in their life.
Yeah, it almost elevates a selfishness to a higher level.
Yes.
Because we forget about the kids. We forget about our duties to each other. We're to love God, we're to love our neighbor, but we totally discount that when we're just in it for ourselves. And I think, you know, the free sex era has just promoted that in our society. In fact, it's just the opposite of what Jesus Christ said. When he said, the two shall become one, and they would be one flesh, that sheds a whole different viewpoint on it, what the spiritual impact of what a relationship should be. Christ focused on that, and he said it was supposed to be something totally different.
Oh, yes, that's what he basically laid down as the prime goal of a man and a wife coming together, and that is to create one flesh. The one flesh concept goes all the way back to the creation, and that, too, is a very important part of this because the biblical viewpoint is that man is not an animal man is a divinely created being, or created by a divine being. We're not divine at this point in this story, but we are created by God. We are part of a divine creation that is playing out to a very wonderful end and purpose. And sex was put within that relationship to bind together a man and a woman in a marital relationship in such a way that it would fulfill the most, the deepest yearnings of an individual within that relationship. And it is when it is practiced in that relationship that that is accomplished. And Steve, to get back to one of the larger point of your whole program here today, is we recognize that there are many people in our audience who are not in a marriage relationship and may never be in one, or another one again for whatever reason. And your point is worshiping God.
That's right.
When that's first, God has a way of taking care of all of our deep spiritual, physical needs.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, because it is a spiritual issue, really, when you get down to it. They're trying to solve it with all these physical things, but it's a spiritual thing.
When it's practiced wisely in a godly fashion within marriage, according to God's laws, then sex produces and fulfills those needs for human beings. Without that, for some people, then the alternative is what you're pointing to in this program, and that is worshiping God, putting Him first in our life, and God will provide the nurturing, the help, the contentment in life that we need.
So what do we do about it? That's the question. We've just got a couple of seconds here. What can we do to fight this influence?
Two things. First of all, turn to God. You were made in His image, and He created marriage. It's a divine institution. And that means you turn to God, you look for His instruction, and you value marriage. The relationship of marriage is a divine institution. It's designed to help us. There's something missing in men and women that relationship can help, and sex is part of that relationship.
Yeah, and that is a mirror of what God wants with us. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with each of us. And so it's got to start there. So stay with us. We'll be right back with a couple of concluding comments.
Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships. Know the secrets of what to do at each season of your children's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Sex surrounds us. More in advertising, more in prime time, more in music, more in video games. You can't even watch a football game without being confronted by it. So isn't it obvious? Sex has become a major influence on our culture. There is no doubt that we are a sex-saturated society, and in many ways, sex has become a kind of God. The mantra from the era of free love, it still survives. But be honest, the negative consequences of this influence have been devastating. If you're to overcome its way, you have to begin by changing yourself. God can help you to do just that and put sex into a proper perspective. Discover the one true God and His purpose for you. Be sure to join us next time here on Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.